Next, Mark questions the head of the county's sensory support service.
Hello there, this is Mark Smith, and I've come along to the training room here at the NNAB at the Bradbury Centre. With me I've got Paul Bowerbank. Now, Paul, you're head of the sensory support services for Norfolk County Council Social Services, and you've now recently joined up with NNAB with premises here on the site at Magpie Road. So what does the sensory support service have to offer, Paul?
Okay. Well, hi, Mark. We've been here nearly 3 years now. The Sensory Support Unit for Social Services actually consists of three different services. We not only work with blind and partially sighted people, but we also work with deaf people who use British Sign Language as their first language, and also with deafblind people as well. So we've got a communicated guide service to help people adjust and be accommodated within the community in order to access, you know, vital recreational and daily living needs. From the visual impairment side, the last sort of 4 years, all our referrals have actually come from the three major hospitals. Because what we've been working with was what we call the CVR, the Certificate of Visual Impairment. So when somebody was diagnosed with a inoperable condition, then there's a legal duty for the local authority to do an assessment. And one of my teams will go out, do that assessment, identify what the needs are, and if there's any rehabilitation or low vision aids or any provision that's needed, we will work with the visually impaired person to do that. The exception to that is where there was a critical need or there was a risk of somebody who had suddenly lost their sight, or there was a safeguarding issue, we would go out without that person needing a certificate of visual impairment. Now, we divided the work like that over the last 4 years because the capacity issues of the team. We didn't have the capacity to see all people.
How many people do you have in the team, Paul?
Currently, we've got, on the visual impairment side, we've got 5 rehabilitation officers. We had 4 until about 3 weeks ago. And with the Care Act and the additional responsibilities around prevention, we actually needed more staff. So we recruited an extra member of staff on the visual impairment side.
That's brilliant. Yes.
And hopefully what we will be doing now is whenever there's a need, whenever there's a need for somebody requiring support around their sight loss, around mobility issues, around getting in and around the house, around kitchen skills, we can then actually receive referrals from sort of people like yourselves or other volunteer organisations, or from the other community social work teams who might be seeing people for completely different reasons.
Yes.
And that's a new thing that we're doing.
That's good. And can people sort of contact you direct, or do they have to go through the hospital or through some other agency?
They can contact us direct. The best way of contacting us is via the customer services at social services. People can refer directly into us, and they can phone us, and we can give them advice and information, and we can take referrals that way as well. But it's probably easier to go through customer services because you're always guaranteed there's going to be somebody there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, quite. And I know there's quite a wide range of services that the rehabilitation officers can provide. Could you just tell us a little bit about the type of help that people can get who've been recently diagnosed with a visual impairment?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the first thing that we do is once we get the certificate from the hospital, we will contact the person directly by phone and find out if there was an urgent need or not. If the need wasn't urgent, we would arrange an appointment to go and visit them in their own home. the rehabilitation worker would then do an assessment, and they would look at things like, look at well-being, basically, their ability to communicate, their ability to get around the house, to do domestic activities, to actually go outdoors, outdoor mobility, go from A to B, access local shops, community centres, any recreational activities that they want. And we can try and we'll do mobility training and provide low vision aids and equipment. And where there's ongoing support needed in terms of things like benefits, financial advice, we would refer on to other agencies.
That's brilliant, yeah. So your work is very much about working with other providers as well?
Well, absolutely, yes. I mean, we probably see at the moment around 500 people a year who are being certified with a sight loss. And of those 500, at least 50% would either be referred to the NNAB,
yes,
for ongoing support, and we work closely with the community workers, or into the equipment centre so they can look at the various pieces of equipment that might help them with low vision aids, or any of the social activities that you obviously provide here. Other people will be referred to Action on Hearing Loss for equipment, because a lot of older people that we see who have been registered as blind have also got significant hearing problems.
Yeah, yeah,
so we need often, to look at the whole aspect.
Yeah.
So we can put them in touch with other organisations like that. And things like employment and education support, we will refer to other organisations, and we work closely with the three main colleges in Norfolk, and we also work with the voluntary sector.
And just to clarify, is it people over the age of 18 you're helping, or is it 21, or
it's actually from birth?
Ah, right.
So even though we're in an adult service provision, when children's services and adult services divided, I can't remember exactly when the date was, round about 2005, 2006, it was decided that the sensory provision would remain generic.
That's, yeah.
So we're one of the few places in the country that actually still do that. So any child that is issued with a certificate of visual impairment will also come through to us, and we will do a social care assessment. The rehabilitation side of that, however, if there needs to be rehabilitation, they are specialist rehabilitation workers in children's services who we refer on to. So I meet with Karen Taylor, who's the head teacher of the virtual school, and her senior staff. We meet probably once a month to look at if there's any cross needs or any transition work with people moving from childhood into adulthood, or actually if any of the children from the schools need rehabilitation.
So Paul, as head of the sensory support unit, I guess your role is to kind of pull things together and make sure everything works quite smoothly. And I guess it must be quite a difficult and challenging role.
It's a really enjoyable role. It is a challenging role. I mean, from my perspective, I've got to look at the strategic needs of the local authority. And sensory provision is only a minuscule part of the whole social care network. So one of my main role is actually to try and get across to other specialist teams within the local authority, never mind other private organisations and businesses about the needs of blind and visually impaired people.
Yeah, well, it sounds like from everything you're saying, from what I'm aware of, Paul, that you're certainly meeting a huge need out there in Norfolk for visually impaired people, and let's hope that the service, particularly with the strengthening of the Care Act, can continue for the foreseeable future.
I hope so too. Thank you.
Well, good luck with everything, Paul. I know you've got to shoot off up to a meeting at County Hall, so we'll let you go now. But thank you for your time, and Best wishes to yourselves and all the team, and thank you for talking to Chatterbox.
Okay, thank you very much.